Okay? Overcoming the wicked one. Who's the wicked one? Satan. I'm glad we know who it is and you didn't use my name. It is Satan, is the wicked one. And how can you overcome Satan? The Lord. Jesus. Do you think you can do it on your own? Well, I'm pretty strong-willed. I think, well, can't you? No. Satan can play so many tricks with our minds. We need the tools of Jesus Christ, and we need to have all the equipment to be able to fight Satan. So who has come here on earth to give us freedom from Satan? Jesus Christ. You guys can get loud if you want, because I am. What are the three stages that you see in a Christian's life? What do you think they could be? The three stages. That is what we're going to be looking at, and we're going to be looking at today some of the different things that we need to understand. Now, the verses that we're looking at, John is very clear in his writing because he repeats that he's writing. He's preparing us. He's preparing us for the three different types. He's preparing us for where we are in our walks. So look up 1 John 2, 12 through 14. I will have it on the screen as well. And the three things we're going to be looking at is the stages of a Christian. Ah, here's your first three answers. Children, young, and older, or fathers. Now, don't take it personal, women. I'm going to address this one right now. The genre of the writing talked to the men. Okay? Now, take the word man out of there, and it's us. Okay? Jesus was talking to us. So when he says young men, fathers, he's talking to the people in the church. Okay? Let's prepare for prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, prepare my heart, as I've been praying to you, Lord, prepare my heart all week for this sermon. Prepare all of our hearts that the Holy Spirit can speak to us. Open our eyes so that we can see, and open our ears so that we can hear the Word of God. And the words that I speak be your words, Lord. Anything that is not of you, I ask to take it away from me or not allow them to hear it. For we are here to worship you, Lord. We are here to read your word and become closer to you. We as a body pray this together. Amen. First John chapter 2. Looking at verse 12. I write to you, dear children, because your sins have been forgiven on account of His name. I write to you, fathers, because you have known Him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I write to you, dear children, because you have known the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you have known Him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong and the Word of God lives in you and you have overcome the evil one. Amen. Not a big amount of verses to read, but there's a lot to understand. This is a transition period where John writes, and part of me thinks John may be a little ADD because he repeats himself. But part of the genre of the writing is to really drive a point home and repeating it so that we can hear it. How many of us are married men and our wives have to repeat things to us multiple times so that we can hear it? Do not raise your hand. She not only repeats herself, finally she just gives up and writes me sometimes a note or, you know, looking at, you know, yeah, that'll get done someday. But how do we repeat ourselves so that we get heard? And John really wants us to hear this, is that the children, the young men and the fathers. He's building them up. John is their mentor. He is writing them because he cares about them. Does it take extra time to write somebody? It's an old lost trait. How many people take a time to write a note? To write somebody a thank you card? Britt, how many of them have you wrote out in the last year? 400. She knew the number right away. 400 thank you cards. Think about that. It takes some time. And to be able to put a personal piece in each and every one of them. It's a lost art to write. It takes time. So we look at this. And understanding that the flow from being a child. Actually, I can go one back. The flow of going from a child. When you become a Christian, do you start off at the top and work your way down? No, we're babies. It's very clear. Jesus told us himself, you need to be born again. And he said, born again is in the Spirit. And being in the Spirit is a whole different way of life. We're no longer worried about the flesh. We're worried about things that matter, relationships, people. And John tells us in John 3 that we have to be born again because it's a spiritual being. And the word again is something I want to hone in on because the word we think is repetitious. But looking back at the word in the Greek and how it was used, it meant of heaven for this word. Because I went and studied, what's the key piece here? We need to be part of heaven. We need to be with Christ. And someone that is born again starts off as a young child. And what do babies come out and what do they need right away? Milk. The Bible talks and refers to different spots is that they need love as a baby and we need milk. We don't start off with steak, do we? As babies, you start off on milk. And as Christians, we start off on milk. We start on learning just little pieces of the Word of God, like John 3:16. We start learning little pieces. We start being proud to say that I am a Christian because Jesus Christ died for me, and I am proud that He accepted me. But as you gain wisdom and learn more things of God, you become closer to Him. You go from child to young adult. And from young adult with studying the Word of God more, you then become a father or a person that has a better understanding and relationship with God. Well, the Greek word, looking at writing, is another important piece. And so I looked up what the Greek word would look at. And I hopefully can pronounce it correctly, is grapho. Close, Andy? No, grapho. There was no S at the end. I have it pronounced here. Oh, grapho. And why is that important to understand the original root meaning of the word? Because words change. If I would ask the Drosniks what the word gay meant when they were kids, they were going to say, wow, it was a great party. Everybody was happy. Here we are 50 years later and the word has changed. So we need to sometimes go back and understand the meaning where it says, I have written to you. And the other translations say, I write to you. What is so important about this? Is that the communication is happening. The understanding of the communication. That you need to be listening. I'm writing to you for a purpose. And he's writing all these pieces and he repeats himself so that we can hear it. And he adds a little bit each time that changes it. That matters to us in our relationship and reading it. The language use of the apostles would look at addressing things in a certain way. And he's addressing this as an older apostle. John didn't write this when he was younger. He was older when he wrote this. And it was mentoring the people. How many of you have a mentor? Sometimes you don't realize that you do. How many of you have parents? Everybody that does not have parents, raise your hand. Okay. Susie got me because I don't have my parents here right now, myself either. Because our parents do pass on. But if you've had parents, is a better way of saying it. I'm glad people are listening. You've had people in your life. Sometimes a good mentor, sometimes a poor mentor. Or if you had a teacher in your life or someone that cared about you and invested in you, you have a mentor. How many of you mentor someone else? Yeah. I like to see the hands up there. That's something to be proud of because you're taking the time to invest into somebody else. Yeah, you two can keep hitting each other because you need a lot of mentoring. I know you. So, but looking at this, as a church, are we mentoring each other in Christ? John Peterson does a lot of teaching in Sunday school, and we are blessed to have him. He's a very educated man that understands the Word of God very well. And we're saying that we need to be mentoring more so we can go from children to young adults to having more older, wiser people within the body. It makes a difference. 1 John 2:12. Dear children, he starts out. Dear children in that time would mean the writing is like I would write a letter to my wife, honey. Or you start off, my dear wife. Or you start off somebody that you care about. You're addressing it. This isn't a personal address. He is talking to somebody that he really cares about. And he's talking from authority. And the genre and the writing that he's trying to come across is very personal as a mentor. He wanted to encourage them. How many of us love to hear encouragement? Come on, I better see every hand out there because in reality, we are wired for encouragement. I am one that needs it more than most. Because it's fulfilling. You're going the right path. You're doing the right thing. Encouragement is good. Sometimes discipline can be an encourager too a little bit. You're going down the right path and all of a sudden the shiny object, the BMW that's red convertible with heated seats, do I need it? No. But it's shiny. Somebody might say, hey, take care of your family. Okay, back online. My wife's just laughing at me because she knows I've already probably bought one. But looking at this, mentoring a person and caring about them is what Jesus did. Jesus had one apostle. Which one was it that he mentored the most and was closest to? John. Amen. John, the one that's writing this, was one of Jesus' closest apostles. He was mentored by Jesus Christ himself. And when John writes, he's writing this with passion. Because the person that mentored him probably showed the compassion and love and caring. And so John's doing the same thing along the way. And he's saying, good job for standing in the faith. How many of us have been in the workplace? I wish Mary was still here because she's actually just stepped out for a moment. But she's in a workplace where encouragement isn't there, especially for Christianity. And sometimes we need encouragement. And having the encouragement of hearing good job from a mentor is like, oh, good deal. Just think if Jesus Christ is going to say good job to you, what would you feel like? Oh yeah, he does, doesn't he? Jesus Christ will say when we die and we come in front of him, we're going to hear one of two things. And this is a rabbit trail for me just to let you know. But I think it's something that we should think about. Two things we're going to hear from Jesus Christ when we die. Well done, or good job, my faithful servant. Just think, Jesus Christ is going to say to you one of two things. I guarantee I'm going to be a crying baby when Jesus Christ says to me, good job, my faithful servant. And I'm going to be crying going, I'm so happy to be here. I don't even deserve to be here. And he says, no, I've made you righteous. But others will hear, which I don't want to be able to even hear this. He's going to say to them, away from me, I never knew you. I don't want nobody to hear that. You're going to hear one of two things. And for the ones that hear, away from me, I never knew you, they're going to hell. There's no other place. So we need to care for others because it makes a difference. I would like every person in this church and every person that I've ever known to hear, good job, my faithful servant, and to have the arms of Jesus Christ and all of us in heaven together. And that was a side note. That wasn't part of the sermon. I just felt we needed to hear that. Thinking where we are in our relationship. Amen. John is rebuilding what he even said in the beginning of this chapter 2. My dear children, I write to you so that you do not sin. We need to be paying attention. Sometimes we can know we're walking into sin and we're okay with it because we're not really caring about it. But if we really pay attention and we know, and we even stumble, looking at going forward, as long as I keep my eyes on Christ and try to do the best I can, I'm going towards the cross. And if I stumble, I will fall. And John says here in the beginning of chapter 2, but if anyone does sin, he has an advocate with the Father. And the advocate is Jesus Christ that has made us righteous. And the advocate of Jesus is going to be there to help us. He's going to help us get up and work at going towards Jesus again. So don't let Satan lie to you. When you fall and you have sin enter into your life, don't let Satan take a hold of that. Stop and rebuke Satan and grab onto Jesus, and he will pull you towards the cross again. So don't let Satan get in there. John wants to say, good job. He writes to us because he wants to make sure we're on the right track. Think about that. People that care about you are engaged with you. People that do not care about you do what? They don't do much or do anything for you. So think about this. People that care about you want to make sure you're doing the right thing. And John wants to make sure these people are on track. Redemption and forgiveness. That's what John wants us to know. Luke 5:20 talks about, friends, your sins are forgiven. We need to make sure that we always know that. That our sins are forgiven so that Satan does not find even a spot to get in. And then it goes on. Luke says in 5:21, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law began thinking to themselves. Okay, let's stop there. When you start thinking to yourselves, and you're doing things behind doors, and you're starting to spread rumors, what is that? Gossip. Gossip is a form of sin. We should not be gossiping behind the scenes. And that's what the Pharisees did and blinded themselves to see Jesus Christ. And so they said Jesus was speaking blasphemy. Jesus has never spoken blasphemy. But the Pharisees missed out on the redemption and forgiveness because Satan came in. So John is saying, good job, you are going down the right path of understanding redemption and forgiveness. But in John 3, not 1 John, but John 3, Jesus said, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. In the Greek word, again, is understanding that it's from above. We need to be born in Christ. By having that ability, we are given so much. First John 2:13, Father, Jesus is addressing the mature believers first. The ones that have been in the church long and enriched with experience. He says, you know them from the beginning. When was the beginning? What's the first book in the Bible? Genesis. And it said, in the beginning. And then it went down to 26. It said, man was made in our image. Jesus was there. So he's addressing to the fathers from the beginning and understanding that the devil is a liar. And to serve God is a choice. And overcoming the devil, you should be encouraged. Because you have. As you get closer to Christ, you understand the Word of God. You have more tools to be able to rebuke Satan with the Word of God. The Word of God can be used to fight Satan. And the name of Jesus Christ can command Satan to leave. We need to understand this within our body so that we are healthy. So we are on the right track of understanding God's Word and how it should be used. And John personalized this to the young men and the fathers. These two groups overcame Satan because the Word of God was in them. They knew the Word of God. And they could rebuke Satan. But young children and babies, they need the protection of the young men in the church and women. But the young people in the church, as well as the protection of the older people, to help them not stumble. I mean, I am so blessed to have a place that I see deer in the yard. And sometimes you'll say that young buck is a reference we use sometimes in the American culture. The young buck is actually the one that's a little wild and crazy and not all there sometimes. The young buck likes to run around and think they know it all. And have a lot of energy. Amen? But you know what? We need these young bucks and these young ladies in the church that have higher energy levels for the Lord to be able to go out and do things for the Lord with guidance. Because the young people are what grows the church. We, meaning me, that turns 50 this year, we, the ones that are getting a little older, need the lifeblood of the younger ones. So when we start seeing marriages in the church, I'm excited. When we start seeing births of babies in the church, I'm excited. When we see new people coming as guests to the church, this is bringing life to our body. And we should be excited when a young person wants to know more of the Lord and reads the Word of God and has that energy level. Wednesday, this is a little sidetrack here. Wednesday, a few of the elders and some of different people got to see some of the young people after our service on Wednesday night. And it went from a very organized service, earlier we talked about the Word of God, to some finger pointing at the end. And it got a little loud. But it was really looking at where they each are walking with the Lord. Well, one of them learned that to have sex before marriage was not a good thing. To be able to look at getting married before that, and so he broke off his sexual relationship with his girlfriend. But then he started judging everybody else. And so that was going on. It was not a healthy environment. But that young buck was trying to make a point of what God's Word had to say. We need to come alongside sometimes, and when somebody finds out the truth and the Word of God and they're all excited about it, to come along and support them. Because we want to be able to have a healthy church. And John writes to the readers about the father and the young person and the children to have their ears open. As he's writing to them, he wants them to hear what's coming up. This is starting of what the next verses are going to be. He wants to get the ears opened because what's coming next is going to be radical. Okay? So next week, plan on a more radical sermon because of it's going to be right to the point. So that's what John's preparing, to get their ears ready, to get them to hear. So what's your takeaways with this sermon? Because if you come here on Sunday, you listen to me preach, you listen to the service where we pray and worship. So what? What did you take away? You need to find the nugget, the gold nugget in every service you go to. Every time you open the Word of God, look for that golden nugget because it's there for you. And if, as long as you're looking, you're going to see it. What are the three types of Christians? Can you tell me now? Yes. And who is the Redeemer that's given us all this authority? Jesus. And who is the one to help us overcome Satan? Christ Jesus. And we need to have that. Otherwise, this world would not be a healthy place. Without Jesus Christ, we would be in chaos. Because everybody would be out for themselves. And I'll be praying, I want young bucks in this church. I want people on fire for the Lord with high energy so that they can make a difference in Christ. So I got a question for you. Who are you investing into? As a pastor, I'm committed to invest into each and every one of you. Not just through the sermons, but through phone calls, through relationships, through mentoring, through coaching. And I also mentor and coach people outside of the church. And one of the agreements that I make with them is I will mentor you and I will help coach you. And the first words out of their mouth is, how much is it going to cost? And I said, it does come with a cost. I want you to identify someone that you are going to mentor and coach. If I'm going to take the time to invest into you, I'm asking you to invest into someone else. Where are you at with your walk? Are you the baby that needs somebody like a pastor to teach you the Word of God? Are you a young person that can start opening up the Word of God and reading it and understanding it? Or are you so educated in the Word that I can ask you a question and you can tell me the Bible verse to go to? Where are you at your walk? That's most important for you. By knowing where you're at in your walk, you can see where you want to go. Amen? And do you want to see change? Who are you mentoring? Identify that person. Write it down. You don't have to tell them. But you do need to be accountable to watch over them and love on them. One of the things I'd like to do going forward is get some pictures of our different youth that are in this church. And I want to be asking you guys to accept them as somebody that you will pray over. Somebody that you will watch over and mentor because they're young. They could use some wisdom, as well as they could use some encouragement. And most of all, they could use prayer. Who are you mentoring? And last of all, I did not plan on an offering for this gentleman and his family. In fact, I planned on talking with the elders and seeing what we could do later on. I feel blessed that the Holy Spirit moved here today. When Singh came up and said what he had to say, the Holy Spirit grabbed my heart and says, okay, I'm giving you the lead. You asked how the church can help. And Singh pointed out, things of this world don't matter. People do. So how are we going to invest in that person that called for help? So let's pray. I would like to call the worship team up. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to hear from you, Lord. As John writes to the different people that are in the church and that have overcome Satan, I pray this for our church, that we prepare to overcome Satan. May each and every one of us be on the correct track, Lord, that you want us to be. May you use our talents to serve you, Lord, and to serve the people of this community. In the name of Christ, may you stir on our hearts to find a mentor that will give us wisdom and speak into our lives. May you identify them by name, and may we have the courage to ask them to watch over us and mentor us. And Lord, as we pray to find someone else to mentor, may we be in prayer for this, Lord. And as you give the name to us and who we are supposed to mentor and care for, may you give us the energy and the prayers to do this. We lift this prayer up to you, Lord, in your name. Amen.